Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, welcome back with me Mariati. We will accompany you for the next 60 minutes. In today's edition, we will present some segments to you, beginning from news, commentary, and other interesting info as well as Indonesian songs. Well listeners, we begin with news.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news. First, the headlines. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources encourages exploration of Freeport's new mineral reserves. Bank Indonesia initiates transformation strategy and international standards. Those are the headlines. Now the news in detail. Minister of Energy and Mineral Resources Ignatius Jonan urged PT Freeport Indonesia to explore new reserves of copper, gold and silver minerals in its concessions area so that they can be managed by Indonesian children, especially in Papua, after the end of the special mining business permit in 2041. This was stated by Minister Jonan while inaugurating a number of facilities to empower the local communities of the Amungme and Kamoro tribes, which were built using the funds of the Freeport Indonesia partnership by the Amungme and Kamoro Community Development Institute at the Papua SP4 Taruna School Timika on Thursday. Assuming the production capacity of copper, gold and silver sits is around 3 million tons per year, after 2041, it is estimated that there will be still reserves of mineral ore to be mined in around 15 years. Energy and Mineral Resources ESDM Minister Ignatius Jonan urged PT Indalum Persero and PT Freeport Indonesia to set up more health clinics, particularly at places in Papua still facing a dearth of health service facilities. Minister Jonan remarked in Timika on Friday, if someone can build clinics, he advised to do it in areas still facing a shortage of health services. On Thursday, Jonan and several key officials from the Energy and Mineral Resources Ministry had the opportunity to review facilities of the Timika Mitra Masyarakat Hospital constructed by utilizing a PT Freeport Indonesia Partnership Fund to offer free health services to 7 tribal residents in Mimika District. Jun noted that his ministry was prepared to facilitate the provision of clean water facilities for direct use by the community. Acting as chairman of the executive committee, Governor of Bank Indonesia Peri Warjio initiated the transformation strategy and international standards for global Islamic finance in conjunction with members of the Islamic Financial Service Board, IFSB. The effort was aimed at strengthening the resilience of Islamic finance as well as creating infrastructure in the form of regulatory guidelines and standards equivalent to the conventional financial industry, according to a statement from Bank Indonesia on Thursday. These aspects were raised at the 34th meeting of the Council, IFSB, in Kuala Lumpur, Malaysia, on April 29. Bank Indonesia's active contribution to the international forum represents part of Bank Indonesia's policy mix and tangible backing for the manifestation of Indonesia as a global center of the Islamic economy and finance. Bank Indonesia is the founding father of the institution and, as such, is avowedly committed to supporting global and domestic Islamic financial development. The Republic of Indonesia Embassy in Kuala Lumpur repatriated 79 Indonesian citizens, including 19 children, ahead of the Ramadan fasting of 1440 Hijrah. Coordinator of the protocol and consular function of the Indonesian Embassy in Kuala Lumpur, Yusron B. Ambari, on Thursday said the repatriation was the second phase of the 900-member Indonesian citizenship repatriation program, women and children, from immigration detainees throughout the Malaysian Peninsula in 2019. One of the returnees, Nona from Medan, North Sumatra, expressed her happiness to be able to return to Indonesia and reunite with her family ahead of the fasting month after her detention at Kajang Prison. On the request of the Malaysian Immigration Office, the Indonesian Embassy agreed to periodically repatriate vulnerable groups consisting of women and children at the expense of the Indonesian Embassy. Repatriation in this framework was first carried out in December 2017. This news comes to you over the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Minister of Research, Technology and Higher Education Muhammad Nasir said that a social and political research center at the University of Indonesia would strengthen the position of the campus among the international community. After inaugurating the building of the Social and Political Research Center of the University of Indonesia's Faculty of Social and Political Sciences at the National Education Day commemoration on Thursday, Nasir said, Indonesia University had ready infrastructure and could be used for the Social and Political Research Center. The building is a donation from the founder of the Lippo Group, Mukhtar Riyadi, and has an area of 5,184 square meters and was built on an area of 2,300 square meters. He said there have been three excellent Indonesian university research programs launched, namely nanotechnology, genome, and computer information technology. He added, with the contribution of the entire community to the field of education, Indonesia could continue to develop and advance. The South Sumatra Forest and Land Fire Task Force has identified five fire-prone areas, the district of Ogan Ilir, Ogan Komering Ilir, Musi Banyuasin, Muara Enim, and Banyuasin. In Palembang on Thursday, Commander of the South Sumatra Forest and Land Fire Task Force, Colonel Sonny Septiono, said that the five regions were their priorities because they had extensive peatlands. According to him, currently, the alert status of forests and land fires has been activated, and personnel and command posts operating in 2018 have been revived as the initial step while awaiting a countermeasure program for 2019. Until the beginning of May 2019, he admitted there have been several peatlands fires even on a small scale. The South Sumatra Fire Task Force, he said, prioritizes the readiness of personnel and equipment in operations and maximizes prevention, namely by training companies or residents around the peatlands. The Marine Affairs and Fisheries Ministry has planned to construct a floating dock on Makassar Island in Bau Bau City, Saudi Sulawesi, by utilizing the 2019 state budget. Head of the Development and Cultivation Area of Bau Bau Marine and Fisheries Agency, Ahman Basarudin, stated in Bau Bau, Saudi Sulawesi on Friday, that the ministry's information indicated that the floating dock will be constructed this year. The pier reportedly measures some 2 meters in width and extends 80 meters long into the sea, located in the village of Liwuto, Kokalukuna district. Basarudin remarked that the Marine Affairs and Fisheries Ministry's Sea Space Directorate had no choice but to change their plan and construct a floating dock in Liwuto, Puma, since high waves last the Wameo, a fish auction place area during the rainy season. He explained that the floating dock, along with serving as a tourist location, would double off as a berth for fishing boats and a place to facilitate passengers of traditional transport vessels in Puma, Bau Bau to alight and board. Well, listener, that's the news.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program commentary. What the topic today is resolving the Venezuelan crisis. Well, listener, the situation in Venezuela is heating up. The political crisis that has occurred after the general election is tenser, and the election was won by incumbent Nicolas Maduro. Opposition leader Juan Guaido has called for his supporters to stage a demonstration on the street every day in a bid to oust Maduro from the presidency. The tension in the Latin American country is further worsened by increasing tension in the military camp, which is now splitting. The split is triggered by Guaido's claim that he has received military support. The claim is countered by Maduro because Venezuelan military officials still support Maduro. Juan Guaido had failed to carry out a military coup. One day after the failure of the coup, Guaido again mobilized thousands of supporters to stage a rally. The Venezuelan crisis, triggered by a dispute between President Nicolas Maduro and opposition leader Juan Guaido, is no longer a domestic affair. The two rival figures felt that they have received overseas support. Nicolas Maduro received support from Russia and Guaido from the United States. As widely reported, U.S. Secretary of State Mike Pompeo and Russian Foreign Minister Sergei Lavrov have accused each other of the causes of the crisis in Venezuela. The United States said that Russia is the cause of the crisis and vice versa. Latin American countries, especially Mexico, are trying to be neutral and they push to hold a conference to find a solution. From the current situation, it is still not predictable when the crisis in Venezuela will come to an end. This crisis has occurred since January 10, 2019, due to dispute over the presidential election results. Finally, this has caused the country's political and economic condition to worsen. Thousands of Venezuelans had left their countries to flee to neighboring countries to avoid conflicts that have not been resolved. Whether the flame in Venezuela to be soon extinguished or even it further burns, the country will depend on President Maduro and opposition leader Juan Guaido to solve it or win the battle of power by finding the country in ruins or finding solution to the happiness of their people. Well, listener, that was commentary read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening. Hello, listener. Nice to be with you again in our regular program Today in History over Air World Service, Voice of Indonesia. Well, we start for an event on May 3, 1960, when European Free Trade Association was established. European Free Trade Association was alternative trade bloc of European countries which were not able to join in the European Economic Community, which becomes European Union now. Its goal is to hold free trade of inter-member countries and to encourage free trade as a media to achieve growth and prosperity among member countries. The European Free Trade Association was established by Norway and Sweden. Currently, only Ireland, Norway, Sweden, and Liechtenstein still become members of the association. The next event was in 1985. Elias Pikal became the winner of IBF Junior Bantam Class. Elias Pikal was born in Ulta, Saparua, Central Maluku, Maluku, or March 24, 1960. He was professional boxer from Indonesia who became the first world champion from Indonesia. Elias Pikal has fallen in love to boxing sport since watching boxing competition on TVRI, especially Muhammad Ali match. His professional career began in 1983 in junior bantam class. Since that time, he achieved series of achievements such as winner of OPBF after defeating Hyun Chung from South Korea with a score 12 rounds on May 19, 1984 in Seoul, South Korea. Due to his victory, Pikal became the first professional boxer from Indonesia who succeeded to achieve international title overseas. He grabbed IBF title on junior bantam class from Korean boxer Chung Judo in Jakarta on May 3, 1985. Along his career, his records were 20 victories with 11 KOs and 1 draw and 5 defeats. And the last event is about International Freedom Press Day. In 1993, the UN Assembly determined May 3rd as a day to commemorate the basic principle of press freedom. Since the time, May 3rd has been commemorated to defend freedom of media from independence attack and to give honorable to journalists who died in running their profession. May 3rd becomes the day to encourage public initiative to struggle the independence of press. International Freedom Press Day also becomes the momentum to remind the government to honor its commitment on press freedom. Well, listener, that was Today in History, read by Rahmana. Thanks for listening.
Voice of Indonesia.
Gersang dan menyakitkan, kau datang menghantar berjuta kesejukan. Kasih, kau beri udara untuk nafasku, kau beri warna bagi kelabu jiwa. Dan hujan mengusik impian semu. Kau hadir di sini di batas kerinduanku. Kasih, kau singkap tirai kabut di hatiku. Kau isi harapan baru untuk menyongsong masa depan bersama. Bersih isyarat di matamu. Kasih, kau sibak sedih di sanubariku. Kau bawa deku berlari dalam asmara yang menjambah bahagia.
That was the first song entitled September Ceria, sung by Vina Panduwinata. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Today, citizen, we will give you information on My Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
This is RRI, Voice of Indonesia. Here is My Indonesia. The title of My Indonesia for today's edition is Indonesia Ready to Become the World's Muslim Fashion Center Next Year. Minister of Industry Erlangga Hartarto opened the 2019 Muslim Fashion Festival or MUFES at the Jakarta Convention Center, South Jakarta, on Wednesday. The event that takes place on May 1st until Ford exhibits local designer works, cosmetic and jewelry products. In his remarks, Minister Erlangga conveyed his appreciation to the designers and supporters of the event. He pointed out that the government pushes Indonesia to become the world's Muslim fashion center. He also stated that after building infrastructure this year, human resources are the next priority, including the creative sector. Therefore, it also has to push vocational school education to be able to create young designers to appear and reach overseas markets. He further said that his side continues to enhance the development of the Muslim fashion industry in Indonesia in bid to be more competitive in the global arena and to show Indonesia's readiness to become one of the world's Muslim fashion centers by 2020. The opportunities for the global and domestic Muslim fashion markets are still very huge. Thus, the domestic Muslim fashion industry must play a major role. Minister Erlangga also emphasized that the high number of Muslims in the world is one of the driving engines to develop the Muslim fashion industry. In 2018, Indonesia's total population of Muslims reached 24% of the total Muslim population in the world. The 2019 Muslim Fashion Festival is attended by more than 100 designers who exhibit various kinds of fashion, beauty, and jewelry products. National Chairman of the Indonesian Fashion Chamber, who is also the chairperson of the 2019 Muslim Fashion Festival or MUFES, Ali Karisma, said that Indonesian Muslim clothing has distinctive characteristics that are very clear, very varied. Their creations are opened and their appearance is extraordinary. This can bring Indonesia to compete with international brands. Meanwhile, Director General of Small, Medium and Various Industries at the Ministry of Industry, Gati Wibawaningsih, said that the Ministry of Industry involves 656 small and medium industries and 60 designers in the development of the Muslim fashion industry during 2018 up to 2019. She also explained that the development program is integrated from upstream to downstream. Examples of programs are the link and match of the Muslim fashion industry with the textile industry, technical guidance and certification of the Indonesian National Work Competency Standards, capacity building for Muslim fashions of small and medium industries, and the development of new entrepreneurs for Muslim clothing. That's my Indonesia.
Voice of Indonesia.
La 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 la
Voice of Indonesia.
That was the second song entitled Bohong, sung by 2D. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Listeners, for the next segment, we will present Indonesian Wonder, which tells about Indonesian tourism and local wisdom. Listeners, it's nice to meet you again in Indonesian Wonder. For today's edition, I introduce you Padupa Bosara Dance. Batam City held an event on the visit of Muhibah Bugis Melayu Serumpun on April 27, 2019. The event took place successfully because it was attended by 219 foreign tourists from Singapore. Head of Area 2nd, Deputy Regional Marketing Assistant 1st, of the Ministry of Tourism, Trin Diana M. Tikupasang, said that the visit of the Muhibah Bugis Melayu Serumpun is one of ways to preserve culture and revive the glory of Bugis Malay. The event was also to preserve the history of the Bugis Malay that has been glorious through culinary, musical performances and dances. One of the cultures shown is the Bugis and Padupa dance. The dance was also performed beautifully by Sanggat Wan Sendari. Moreover, Malay and Bugis songs were also played, namely I Balolipa, Tak Akan Melayu Hilang di Dunia, Tanah Ogi Wanuku, and Zapin Pusaka songs. Related to the activity, the Indonesian Wonder for today's edition introduce you one of the Malay cultural arts, namely Padupa Bosara Dance. It is a welcoming dance of Bugis Makassar people when guests arrive. In the past, the dance was often performed to entertain kings, to welcome noble guests, traditional parties, and wedding parties. Bosara itself is a typical plate of the Bugis Makassar tribe in South Sulawesi. The basic material of Bosara is from iron and completed with a distinctive cover like a large drum, which is wrapped in brightly colored fabrics such as red, blue, green, or yellow with golden flower ornaments around it. Besides being used as one of the instruments by regional dancers, Bosara also usually becomes for serving various traditional cakes, traditional symbols, especially at secret events such as traditional weddings. Padupa Bosara dance is a dance that is performed by women by bringing cakes delivered to guests as a sign of honor. Now it has many creations Padupa Bosara dance uses traditional attire of Bodo clothes with complete decoration such as flower chain necklace, bracelets, hair ornaments or headbands, earrings and wrist ornaments. Listeners, that was Indonesian Wonder for today's edition with the title Padupa Bosara Dance. Tomorrow we'll meet again with another interesting topic of Indonesian Wonder. Bye-bye.
Nampaknya kau tak mengerti. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Selalu menemani saat kau rapuh dan jatuh, namun saat kau bahagia nampaknya ku terlupakan. Tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Ingin aku jadi kekasih yang baik, berikan aku kesempatan. Oh, tahukah dirimu, tahukah hatimu, berulang ku ketuk, aku mencintamu. Tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku yang jatuh cinta. Dan aku mencintamu, tapi dirimu tak pernah sadari aku sungguh jatuh cinta. Bukan ku tanpa alasan.
Voice of Indonesia.
You have just listened to the third song entitled Aku Yang Jatuh Cinta, sung by Dudi Oris. For the next segment, we will present you Miscellany. Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia. It is nice to meet you again in Miscellany. Today's edition is about to explore the topic. UI delegation won first place in business competition in South Korea. Stay tuned with us on www.vuinews.id. The UI delegation successfully won first place in a business competition in South Korea. The team consisted of 6 students of Engineering Faculty of University of Indonesia. They were chosen as champions thanks to innovation in plastic waste treatment. Through innovative ideas in the form of processing plastic waste into raw material for 3-dimensional printer filament yarn, the University of Indonesia delegation successfully won the title. They took home the Platinum Prize title of first place and a prize worth $2,000. The competition entitled the Asian Student Venture Forum, which was held in Seoul and Daejeon, South Korea in early April. The 6 students were Pandey Bagus Widyantara, Muhammad Rashad, Idrus Fahreza, Rizka Amira, Naufal Arif, and Abiyah. The concept offered by them is full of technology, but it also puts forward interesting and financially promising business ideas. One of the team representatives, Pandey Bagus, said that as a UI engineering student, he would like to put forward the findings of applied-based engineering that could provide benefits to the community. He is proud to be able to represent UI in the prestigious event in Asia and meet students from some countries to introduce Indonesian culture and the quality of the youth. The Asian Students Venture Forum is an annual competition event held by Korea Economic Daily, and this year it was sponsored by KTNG. This business startup competition was attended by various countries in Asia, such as China, Taiwan, Hong Kong, Indonesia, Japan, Malaysia, Mongolia, the Philippines, Singapore, Uzbekistan, and Vietnam. The biggest international business plan competition in South Korea has been held since 2002. Besides representing new ideas and interesting innovations, all participants of the competition also took part in various cultural activities, social discussion, and discussion related to other global economic issues. That was Miss Lenny for today, featuring UI delegation won first place in business competition in South Korea. We will meet again with other interesting topics. See you next time.
Mm-hmm. hanya pelarian cintamu hingga tak tulus kau cintai aku. Kau tak menjadari sering kau sakiti aku hingga aku kecewa. Ku tak ingin bila cinta di hatimu kau cintai aku. Kau tak menyadari sering kau sakiti aku hingga aku kecewa. Ku tak ingin bila cinta di hatimu membayangi di antara kita. Bila memang
Voice of Indonesia.
Thank you. sanggaran nurani yang merambatkan jelas sabari pertanda masa nanti.
Voice of Indonesia.
That was Ku Ingin Kau Cintai Aku sung by Dian Kusuma. You still tune to Voice of Indonesia from Indonesia to the world on frequency 3325 kHz and website www.voinews.id. Next, we inform you about Indonesian music.
Voice of Indonesia.
Hello listeners, Voice of Indonesia, welcome back in Music Corner. Today we are about to present you a song, Boboi Bulan, sung by Desi Puspitasari. The song Boboi Bulan tells about the sadness of someone who is left by her lover. The sadness gets worse when she sees someone who looks like her boyfriend at front her house every morning. Someone's eye look reminds her to her lover who left her. The song, which was composed by Benny Korda, is certainly not known when the song begins to be sung and well known among Sundanese people. Until now, Boboi Bulan has been sung by some Indonesian singers with different arrangements. This song often entertains West Java people when holding various events, such as circumcision or wedding party. Listeners, here is Boboi Bulan, which has been rearranged by Vicky Sianipar, and it is sung by Desi Puspitasari. Have a nice listening. Listeners, thank you for listening our English program on Voice of Indonesia through shortwave on frequency 3325 kHz. Please give your suggestion and criticism through Facebook fan page, The Voice of Indonesia, Instagram, voice_of_Indonesia, Twitter, @VOIIndonesia. And also send your email to voi@voinews.id.